Pride Network.
Silence.
Oppenheimer.
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Pride Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 205 of Nerd Pride Radio. 205, if Charles Dickens were alive today, he'd be too...
Is it Nerd Pride Radio time?
It is Nerd Pride Radio time. Are you coming in or not?
Yes!
If Charles Dickens were alive today, he'd be 205 years old. 205 was a tough one. Grueling, people. All right. Ask me how I'm doing today. Go on. Ask me.
How you doing?
I am really sick with bronchitis. It hurts. Ow. But my name is Mike Jones, and I am a Pathfinder/Starfinder nerd. I gotta get better at that. A history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd. Plus, there's like seven other kinds of nerd I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore.
You could? I could say D&D/Paizo nerd.
Actually, no, I just want to cut D&D out because I haven't played D&D in years.
Shh, but you're still a fan.
Well, yeah, no, I get it. It's a legacy thing, but I still, I really, D&D is the easiest way to explain to people who aren't
familiar.
Who don't
know what Pathfinder is.
Right. Ah. It's the easiest way to explain what it is that I do, but I don't play D&D. So,
but you could just say D&D and Paizo because that would just over-encompass Pathfinder and Starfinder.
My co-host this week is Aiden, obviously. Here's the deal. There is no meticulously plotted portion of the podcast. The plan was, because today is Columbus Day, which means I didn't have to go to work anyway. And so the plan was going to be, hey, it's Columbus Day and I'm feeling kind of sick. So why don't I just wake up early?
We're going to watch the movie. We're going to do Awesome in the 80s.
Right. We'll watch Real Genius together.
And then a friend kept me up till 4 a.m.
Excuses.
Hey now.
So the point is, I'm blaming it on him for not wanting to get up and watch the movie with me, but I slept till noon. I was sick today. Oh my God. I'm still sick. And so here's the deal. I'm up and I'm awake and I'm feeling better right now because of Mucinex DM and my albuterol inhaler, which are making me feel a lot better. But I also haven't actually spoken or gotten out of bed until like just 20 minutes ago. So yeah, I feel really good, but I think I'm going to go downhill fast. So what we're going to do today.
Oh, I wish I didn't have to speak to anyone until noon.
Oh man, it was so nice. So I'm going to wind up doing nothing but Podomatics until I feel like I can't take it anymore.
Can this be a 3-hour episode?
It could. It could.
Yeah.
If I feel that good, it'll be a 3-hour episode. If I feel less good,
so
15 minutes.
So this podcast will go until Mike's health slowly deteriorates and he dies.
That's exactly right. That's actually what I put on Facebook for listener betrayal. I said, I'm dying, so if you want to get any last words, this is your chance.
You're just going to get nothing but epitaphs for your listener
betrayal.
Wouldn't
that be
betrayal?
Awesome? That would be really cool. So anyway,
Do you can do sometimes?
What?
Do like a themed listener betrayal.
Yes.
Do like a Jax Films Yai kind of thing.
Well, every once in a while I ask questions when I do the listener betrayal, but then it requires that I think of things to ask, and it's really hard.
You can ask me.
So, you're never here. You were never there for me, I'm sorry. All right. And by the way, I'm also, for whatever reason, the mood I'm in with being sick, I am picking on Aiden really hard today. I've been super mean to him in the last 20 minutes that I've been away.
Yeah. On the other end of this dynamic.
Yeah. But I'm going to try not to do that on the podcast because I'm a nice guy. He is the butthole. And clearly, I'm good cop. So I'm going to be nice to him now. So anyway, now it's time for the
pod-o-matic.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
Is he dead? No, he's fine.
Nope. Hot dog. This is the Nerd Pride Radio pod-o-matic.
3.0, actually.
At the beginning of this particular cast, instead of at the end like I normally do, I bring out R2 and his fully pimped out Podomatic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me and my wonderful son to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in. If you want to hear me haver on about something, you send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds, and I'll add it to my Podomatic list, because Podomatic is about whatever you want it to be. And our first number here is 11. 11 is from Produce Farmer. Hey, Produce Farmer. Nice to hear from you. Produce Farmer says, having sons of various ages, do you find that they all
that's
go...
Me. That's me. Yeah, he's talking about me.
I know. It's about you. having sons of various ages, do you feel that they go through similar phases of stuff that they're into?
Oh, boy.
Of stuff that they're into. Aww. For example, kids shows, dinosaurs, Pokemon, etc., etc.
I can answer this one for you.
Okay, good, because I'm already fading. This is not going to last long, I can tell.
I noticed that, yeah, we go through similar phases in our own time, but we're all fairly close, so some phases that we go through, we all go through at once.
Right. And, it's kind of accelerated, because if the older kids are into something in particular, well, then the younger
Dragon
kids...
Dragon Ball Z, for example.
Right. The younger kids get to see it. They get excited about it. They share experiences together.
Magic the Gathering.
Right. But it also helps that so far I have no evidence that my children ever grow up. And so, therefore, it's okay for the younger ones to be into Pokemon because the older ones are still into Pokemon.
Hey, you could be a grown-up and be into Pokemon. How dare you?
Well, that's my point. Did I judge you? I just said
you sounded a little judgy.
No, I said you were an overgrown child. That's all. Is that bad? God, I am proud to be an overgrown child. I don't know what his problem is. So,
why can't you be funny all the time on the podcast?
I know, wouldn't that be something? This would be a totally different show. So, but see, in this case, we're saying that funny equals being mean. And I'm not that
guy. You
were
being mean?
I'm sorry. Maybe I was just thinking most of that. But still, yes, they do go through similar stuff. But it's always, it is slightly different for each kid at each age because... Mm-hmm. You know, when Jacob was little, you know, Barney was a thing. And
mine was, like, bananas in pajamas.
Right, bananas in pajamas. I don't think anyone was ever really that into Teletubbies in this house. That's way too young.
Eli was Diego, actually.
Right. We
jumped the Dora gap and went directly into Diego.
Yeah, although he watched a fair amount of Dora. They went together.
What was Noah's?
Noah was born as a 30-year-old man, so I don't know.
He grew up real fast.
Right, he was basically born into liking the stuff you guys liked. So, yeah, all right, next one. Number
68.
Oh my God, you can read the numbers. That's amazing. There we go. My mouse works.
Are your eyes failing, old man?
All right, it's from Kyle. Kyle said... What would be different if the 9/11 terrorist attacks never occurred?
Jesus Christ.
I know, he's going straight for the humor.
God, we were all jovial until now.
Okay, if the 9/11 terrorist attacks had never occurred...
I'm firmly in the belief that Trump would never have become president.
Well, no, that's probably true. And that may or may not be a good thing.
Right.
That
we take no firm political position on this either way.
Because I don't know what would be different other than what worries me about something like that is if the 9/11 attacks had not occurred, it would have been another attack at some point.
Right.
Because that anger and hatred has been there, and it's not like this was the first time they tried. It wasn't the first time they tried to bomb the World Trade Center, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
And so therefore, they would have succeeded at something at some point, and had it not occurred, it just would have taken us that much longer to start realizing how we are viewed by much of the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. And granted, not everybody catches on to this or understands how serious this is, but it was easy for us to pretend that we were still the America that we've always thought we have been for the last 200 years. And this is kind of a wake-up call. Well, you know, 16 years ago, this was kind of a wake-up call.
God, so, you're real quiet on the
I know. Bar. Well, that's my serious voice.
But right. Can we get back to the funny, please?
That's right. 83.
Sure.
83 is from... There it is. It's from D-Rod. Hey, D-Rod. D-Rod says, a realistic tabletop RPG is made about you. What is your special skill? What is your weapon? Who else is in the party? What's the conflict?
My special skill is being able to avoid any confrontation at all.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Is that like a dream that you have?
No, it's a thing I'm pretty good at in real life.
Really?
And when I do get in confrontations, I cry a lot.
Oh. Oh, don't make me laugh. It aggravates my bronchitis. So.
All right. So here's the thing. I'm sorry, guys. The funnier I am, the quicker this show is over.
That's right. Okay. So the question then is, I am in a tabletop RPG.
His special skill is getting bronchitis annually.
Oh, man, I am so good at that. I mean, like natural 20 every year for getting bronchitis. I am so good. Although, again, I think this one's going to pass faster. Like I say, I caught it early, and I started in with the inhaler right away, and it feels different. You guys want to just spend the entire hour talking about my lungs? Because this could be an awesome show. My special skill. Look, I have the power of heart. I bring love to all people. It's what I do. I don't know.
You're the lame fifth member of the Captain Planet team.
That's exactly who I was thinking of. I have the power of heart. Which continent had the power of heart?
Oh, I think it was India.
No, well, India's not a continent. Are you sure it wasn't? Was it South America?
No, South America had Earth.
Earth? Man, you would think they would get water with the Amazon River.
Yeah, I don't know the elements. I just know that
If only we had some sort of magic box that could give us the answers to all these questions, but sadly, we don't. So.
Hold on. Whoa. Okay, you know, go to the next question. I'll get it.
Number 30. And 30 comes from Kyle. Hey, Kyle. Good to hear from you. Kyle says, what's your stance on fatigue in tabletop RPGs? All right, before I read, because he's got a lot more words here, I don't like fatigue. I don't like the idea of... I mean, I get that there is often a stamina mechanic for like powering your magic or powering certain abilities that, you know, once you've run out of energy, mana, karma, stamina, whatever it is, you run out of this ability. And I get that. That's fine. But fatigue as a, you've exerted yourself for so long that you need to rest now. You're going to take penalties for being tired. I don't like, in general, I know it's unrealistic, but I don't like taking penalties for being fatigued, on a regular basis. And I don't like taking penalties for being wounded
on a general basis.
Because, oh, hold on. We've got a Captain Planet report.
Kwame, hailing from Ghana, Africa, has Earth.
Okay.
Wheeler, from Brooklyn, New York, has Fire.
Yes, because the Americans are the attack.
Linka, from the Soviet Union, has Wind.
From the Soviet Union. That's how old that is.
Yeah. Guy, from Asia, has water, and Mati from the Amazons of Brazil.
Yes, has the power of heart?
Has the power of heart.
Yeah, I nailed it. South America. All right.
God, what a lame power.
I know, so sad. I don't like that because it brings about this kind of death spiral thing that once you
where did I come in on?
Fatigue in role-playing games.
Oh, okay. So not nearly as...
Right. When you're taking penalties for having been wounded or having been exhausted, then those penalties just make it that much harder for you. And so you become more wounded, more tired, and thus at a greater penalty. And I don't care for that sort of death spiral. I don't mind fatigue as, you know, a mechanic where, you know, you can, like Pathfinder does this, where you can cause, you know, certain spells or certain effects can actually cause someone to become fatigued. I get that. But in general, just to have it come about, I don't care. Doesn't work for me.
Sorry, I know I shouldn't have laughed because there was nothing funny about that except for in the real world outside of the podcast, Dad is trying to speak and also fend off a cat.
Well, it's Bear and he really likes keyboards because he's a cat. But Kyle continues on and says, I generally don't like them because we always forget about them and only use them one out of every three times. But they make total sense, but I hate them. Yeah, see, that's where I am. I agree that they make sense. They add, if you're looking for verisimilitude, if you're looking for, you know, quote unquote realism in your games or if you want to have a more accurate simulation, sure, great.
Okay.
But if it doesn't increase my fun, then I don't want them.
If you're playing an action role-playing game, I'm going to assume, like in D&D, I am playing someone athletic enough that they can move constantly for 30 seconds.
Yes, absolutely. But what about minutes at a time? What about after you've taken, you know, four arrows to the gut or whatever it is?
I don't think I've ever played a D&D game or Pathfinder where anything happened for more than a few seconds.
Okay. yes, you're absolutely correct, he said without following that double entendre there. So.
I didn't even realize.
I know. But, yeah.
I'm the master of the single entendre.
No.
Want to do it?
Okay. Yes, no, I agree with you. I hate them. Let's move on. 80.
Oh, hey, it's your age.
Hey. Oh, I'm old.
You know, by that age, this bronchitis is just going to take you.
Oh, no kidding. All right. 80 is from Kyle. That's unusual.
Oh, that's a lot of words.
Kyle says, I'm done with ironic, quote-unquote, ironic enjoyment of things.
I'm not.
If you don't like fireworks, don't go sit through them anyways and give sarcastic oohs and ahs. If you don't like haunted houses, don't go anyway and then brag about how nothing scares you and you just want to see how stupid they are.
Okay, wait.
If you don't like something, give me a second. Don't experience it.
Okay. I love haunted houses. I don't find them scary in the least. I just love the concept.
Yeah, no, but that's the whole point is, he's saying, if you're going to do something because you enjoy doing it, then say, I'm doing this because I enjoy doing it. But don't go in and say, I'm just going in because I love how lame they are. I want, you know, don't go into it because you want to experience it and then basically bash the experience afterwards. Right. It's funny because it was so stupid.
Okay. Okay.
Ironic enjoyment.
I have to draw a line somewhere because loving ironically is the only way you can enjoy the movie The Room.
Maybe. I haven't seen The Room.
The only way you can possibly watch that movie is if you're watching it ironically.
Well, I haven't seen The Room at all, so I can't comment on that. But
you can see The Room.
I don't have any urge to. I hear it's a really bad movie. I've seen clips of it, and it's a bad movie, and I'm not into jumping in on bashing it, really. I'm not. It's just not a thing I want to do. I do want to see whatever the new movie is about the making of The Room with whatever Franco is in that one. But I'm not interested in The Room. And I, you know what? I agree with you, dude. And to finish off, Kyle's says, hey, you're just bringing everyone else down. Am I right?
So yes, you are right.
Yeah, you're right. In general, I completely agree. Look, if you like something, like it. And if you don't like it, well, that's all right. Move on and let other people enjoy it. It's no big deal. If, you know, if anyone enjoys that sort of thing, there's always someone that enjoys that sort of thing.
Yeah.
13.
You okay? You, like, mini exploded there.
That's because I was burping at the same time I was announcing a number. It's very difficult being me. It's a complex podcast.
It's it. You hit a button, you read a question, you answer question.
And, right. And when do I release buildups of gases within my body? See, I have to find time for that. So, 13 is from Mrs. Darks. Mrs. Darks says, have you read Ready Player One? Oh my God, your timing couldn't be more perfect. I just finished it 2 days ago.
I have read parts of it.
I literally just finished it. I have it on Kindle, so if you want to read it on your phone, I will push it over to you. Because we have it. So, yes, I have read Ready Player One.
It seems like a bunch of references.
It is a bunch of references, except it's a bunch of references in context. So
it's a bunch of references I don't get.
No, that's true. That's probably true. You would get a lot of them, but then you also wouldn't get a lot of them. She says, if so, what was your favorite reference? And if not, go read it. Or better yet, listen to it being read by Will Wheaton on Audible. Isn't that a little megalomaniacal of him since he's in the book? I mean,
is he?
It's a passing reference to, it's time for the elections, and there's the real world elections, and then there's the inside the Oasis elections. And he says, oh, these are a no-brainer because we always just vote for Will Wheaton. And yeah. And so that's, the other guy whose name I'm drawing a blank on, but, Cory Doctorow.
Please tell me in the audiobook when it says that we always vote for Will Wheaton subs is like, that's me. That's me.
I bet he doesn't. But look, I unabashedly really enjoyed this film. I thought it was, or film, this book, and I'm looking forward to the film. I thought it was great. And, I am a child of the 80s. I am exactly as old as the wizard guy who sets it all up. And so therefore all these references that he's created to bring the 80s nostalgia back, you know, 70 years later, 50 years later, it's all right up my alley. I get it. And, I thought it was cleverly done. Now, the problem I have with the book, and it's only a minor problem because I didn't really care.
It's that they're all too young.
It's
the minor problem.
Oh man. God darn it, you suck. No, the problem I had is that there was a lot of stuff in this book that was very deus ex machina. In that, It's stuff that, oh my God, how are they possibly going to get out of this? How is he going to, and then it's always saved by, yeah, well, naturally 2 weeks ago, I set up a subroutine that would do this for me and therefore, and so like, it's just there. Now, the problem is that there were so many things and possibilities that if you had set them up all ahead of time, so we'd actually seen them being done, it would have been obvious that this is the eventuality he's preparing for, therefore this thing's going to happen, and therefore it would have been very spoilery to have explained it. And so to me, it felt like, especially the heist portion of the book, it felt very much like a heist movie. A lot of times heist movies do that same trick where you have to trust...
Oh, no, it's all right. I already disarmed the system 20 minutes ago.
Right, exactly. You have to trust that your heroes... who are pulling off this heist are super smart. And when they say that, oh yeah, they already took care of all of this and here's how they did it. You know, that's your big reveal for that portion. And then you have to trust that, oh yeah, yeah, no, no, that is something they would have done. Wow. They really are clever.
But see, the thing is I don't think any of those deus ex machinas were really needed.
No, they were.
Because in a world where literally anything you imagine happens.
Well, you're going to have to...
I mean...
You have to read the book. You really do. And the thing is that while that may have been a small gripe of mine that, like, we're suddenly, you know, there's like a good half dozen times in the book where they just kind of pull a rabbit out of a hat and go, oh, there's your solution. It's okay because I love the characters and I was actually invested in the characters going forward. And so I was really good with all that. Now, my favorite reference, man, I don't want to give anything away. And I liked a lot of it. Look, I liked all the, reference back to Adventure. They must have mentioned the Atari 2600 game Adventure, a dozen times throughout the course of this book. We're on an epic quest.
Remember
and
the good old days when, like, you didn't need character development or a good story. All you needed was a square and a maze.
That's right. Well,
and sometimes you picked up an invisible circle.
an invisible dot, and it wasn't completely invisible. If you held it inside a wall, you could see where it was. So you shut up. And I also had an arrow that I could slay things with. I think it was supposed to be a sword. So,
were those supposed to be dragons, those bigger squares?
Yeah, the seahorses?
Yeah.
They were seahorse creatures that were supposed to be our dragons, and adventure was awesome.
Was it? Were you actually, like, into that? Was that, like, the most exciting thing of that day?
Yes! Yes! I solved adventure probably 100 times. I loved that game.
Where's the fun in it after, like, twice?
Oh, well, you can have a, there was a setting that would place items randomly rather than having them preset, and so then you had to find where they were. It was still all the same shit, and it was all still the same mazes.
It's
and
like
the same,
playing a board game.
You just had,
like,
to find them in different orders is all.
It's like playing Candyland, like, 400 times.
It was way more exciting than that. And once you found the Easter egg and the secret room, I mean, dude, that thing was wicked cool. So, that and Zork. Zork was awesome.
I love Zork. I'll give you, because Zork actually was going somewhere. Literally. The whole thing was going somewhere.
Right.
Kick bucket.
Anywho, yeah, I really liked Ready Player One. I'm really looking forward to the movie. That was my whole plot, was that I needed to read the book before the movie comes out, because I just want to be ready. And since I've seen, there was a trailer for Ready Player One that ran before it, and therefore, I got all excited about it, so
God,
I had to read the book.
The year's 2050 really look real shit, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, no, the future is horrible. That was, one of our friends on Facebook commented, because, when you go see it, you get the trailer for Ready Player One, and then you also get the trailer for Blade Runner, both of them showing the world of the 2040s, and apparently the 2040s are gonna suck. That's what these trailers were telling us, so. Alright. 23.
My favorite number.
It is my favorite number. Why do you mock me? 23 is from Kaz. Hey there, Kaz. Kaz says, godly justice question. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
In what ironic form would your punishment take for those who sin against the tenets of your faith? Ugh.
I'd staple them to David Tennant.
Dying. Oh. Oh. 12. 12 is from? It's from Kaz. Good, he gets another shot at this game. Kaz says, what was the last video game you played? How about the last achievement or trophy you earned while video gaming?
Okay, hold on. I'm going to tell you that, for Mike, that second half of your question is mute because last time he played a video game, there weren't achievements.
You shut up.
What was it? What was it? Ghosts and Goblins?
Kingdom Rush. a tower defense phone app. And the last achievement I got, I think, was the busting Frodo out of the spider webs. Or maybe it was sea monster. I don't remember.
Anyway, game is that?
Kingdom Rush? Kingdom Rush, the tower defense game with the... me and Noah have both been playing it.
Right. But the way you said it with the achievement...
Yeah?
It sounded like you were playing some kind of Middle Earth RPG.
There's a bunch of achievements for this game, and one of them is... They actually don't call him Frodo. I think they call him Fredo. But it's Free Fredo. And there's one level where, if you're paying attention, there's spider webs in the background, and there's a little hanging cocoon in the spider webs, and that's Fredo, who's been all wrapped up. And if you tap on that enough, eventually he'll drop and run away. And so that's your little bonus achievement there. The last one is I have to... The only achievement on Kingdom Rush, the original Kingdom Rush, that I haven't achieved is I haven't beat all of the iron levels on medium difficulty. About a third of them I'm still stuck on easy difficulty. And, I come back and I play the game. I'll play like two levels once a week and I wind up dying miserably because I'm not in any practice anymore. And then I put it away again. I haven't taken it off my phone because I still have that last achievement. And I keep having this dream that, maybe one day I'll put in some time, but I'm not gonna. So, there you go.
The last game I played was Fallout 4, and the last achievement I got was last night, and it was called Lovable for fully romancing Piper.
Nice. I don't know what any of that means, because I don't play Pokemon, but I'm very proud of you. So, 73 is from... Oh, there it is. It's from Kyle. And Kyle says, what area of history do you know little about, but, time permitting, you would like to become an expert in?
The exact moments after the Big Bang.
All of them. But I'm thinking, I was personally thinking of human history, and I would love to be more of an expert in South Asian history, because I think the history of South Asia and Southeast Asia is really fascinating stuff, because, I mean, it's like any part of the world thousands of years ago, where you've got, you know, you go delving into it, and there are, you know, dozens, hundreds of different kingdoms that have risen and fallen over the years, and some of them last for centuries, and some of them, you know, just a flash in the pan, and you get a bare mention of them in some, you know, vaguely related Chinese history, and then you have no idea whatever happened to those people. I think it's fascinating, but, you know, it's, I don't have enough time yet.
25.
Somebody doesn't want to talk about history.
It's boring.
All right, 25 is from Mrs. Darks. Mrs. Dark says, name a beverage not improved by adding bubbles.
Milk.
You've never blown bubbles in milk with a straw? Yeah, that doesn't improve them at all, unless you're two. So, yeah, okay.
And then it only makes a big mess for everyone else.
That's true. I don't know, is there carbonated coffee somewhere? Because that sounds gross.
Dad.
What?
Your monster stuff?
Those aren't carbonated.
Are they not?
No. I know other monsters are carbonated, but the monster Javas are not.
Okay, I didn't know. So I've never had... I drink good stuff.
Okay, I'm going to go with milk.
That is 73 again. That's 74.
74, that seems fair.
I thought these new dice weren't supposed to get stuck.
They're not stuck. Those are fair rolls. That's the genius of them, is now there's a lot of times that you will find patterns in randomness, right.
And that's why iTunes random function isn't actually random.
Right, because they had to change it so that it would seem random to people who don't understand how randomness works. So Kyle says, level with me. Aren't black holes just connections between the space-time parallel universes? They are, right? We just can't figure it out. Tell me I'm right. Dude, you are so right.
Right.
Black holes, honest to God, that's the whole point. Yes, the physics that you're learning about how it's just, you know, a singularity and it's a collapse of space-time as mass comes crushing together. Yeah, duh, that is true. But the whole point is that then reality breaks down at that point. Einstein even said so.
Yeah, see, but the thing is, it's like Alice's rabbit hole. The hole is two-dimensional. And so it leads into another world. If you make a three-dimensional hole, it leads to another dimension.
No, okay. It sounds like he's kidding, and I think he thinks he's kidding, but he's actually onto something. All right? Duh. Once you've collapsed space-time, you've torn a hole in the fabric of reality, and there's nowhere to go but alternate dimensions or, you know, wormholing over to other portions of the universe.
Narnia.
Or Narnia. Yes.
Can I have freaking Narnia, the giant big black hole in space?
Yeah, well, as it turns out, when I have passed through a black hole, I just wind up in a land where all my childhood Saturday morning cartoons turn out to be real.
You mean so, Ready Player One?
Similar, yeah. Yeah, except with a lot less video games and a lot more Smurfs. So
that sounds like hell.
92. 92 is, we're getting to the end here, people, because I am starting to lose it. So 92 comes from Kaz, and Kaz says, post-human question. Oh, the best kind of questions.
I can't wait till we're all dead.
If you could slot your consciousness into a radically different body, what would it be? Scarlett Johansson.
Jake from Super Rad, because that's the most radical body I can think of.
Look, a radically different body. At this point, I don't even care. Look, if I have the ability to transfer my mind into other physical forms, I would want to go, on this huge week-long adventure of just trying out different bodies, being able to fly, being able to breathe underwater, having all sorts of wild superpower-like abilities, try out different experiences. It would be cool.
I think for the first while, being a fish would be terrifying. Cause you'd always have like this instinct to like try to swim up to breathe, but that's the only place you can't.
Right. Look, I'm trapped underwater with all this pressure and I want to inhale, but I have no lungs. So.
Right. Could you imagine just breathing, just being like a thing that you do just by moving?
Right. So all I can do is as I have my panic attack underwater is I just pump water faster over my gills and 13 we've done.
10 we haven't.
70.
Oh, was that 70?
Yeah.
Tiny numbers.
Yep. 70 is from... Okay. This is the last one. 70 is from Jacob. What are the 7 games and how are they represented? Frickin' what?
I can call him.
You might want to check with him. Because I am lost. Hold on, I'm going to Google while he calls.
Yeah, don't pause it. I want this phone call to be on the podcast.
Well, I kind of don't, because it sounds like really bad radio. So, seven games? This is terrible. I don't know that this makes any sense at all. It probably has something to do with the end of the world as we know it, if we looked at the lyrics, but... he's getting a message. So, you know what? The world may never know. That's it. Podomatic is over. I'm turning it over to GLaDOS, and she is going to give us a recap of all the fun we've had so far.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2017 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk, and I didn't use any other music.
How many times have you read this outro?
With bronchitis, one. So
I don't believe that because...
I get it every year.
Yeah.
Don't forget this podcast is a proud member of the Nerd Pride Network, et cetera, et cetera. If you want to help out Nerd Pride, subscribe, reviews, 5 stars, you know the deal. you want to do something nice, recommend it to your friends, but word of mouth, bread and butter. Got it. Okay.
I've never heard you half-ass your outro so bad.
Remember, I'm always looking for you guys to do my work for me. So, you know, listener betrayal, Podomatic, send me stuff.
you're just shouting out your info Mad Lib style.
Oppenheimer! My contact info. Mike@nerdprideradio.com, @nerdprideradio on Twitter, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be completely honest, the very best way to talk to me is come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. Sign up. Send me a message. We will hang out together. And once I'm feeling a little better, we will become best friends in the world. I promise. What he said. And now it's time for listener betrayal and all that stuff. But before that, we actually got through to Jacob. And
let me read you the text conversation we had.
Aiden says, what are the 7 games?
And Jacob responds with, ellipses question mark.
What the hell are you talking about?
So then I sent him a picture of the Podomatic sheet with his name and question highlighted. And his response was, ooh, teehee, you tell me.
Jerk. So
we had to review all of the lyrics to It's the End of the World.
Right. So we went,
we could find where that
we went through all of the lyrics of It's the End of the World as we know it. And sure enough, there's a represent the seven games. And I don't even know if that's really the lyrics, because there are some of the lyrics that Google has listed here that I would swear are not really in there. But, okay, represent the seven games. Well, we already settled this on the last episode of the show that A, Michael Stipe is an asshole. And
oh my
B,
gosh.
He says it was just a bunch of stream of consciousness stuff. So a lot of that is nonsense words that just kind of fit the rhythm he was looking for.
The seven games are all represented in the Olympics. Next question.
Yeah. So yeah, whatever. But anyway, hey, it's time for listener betrayal. Before I start,
that's what you get for being cryptic, Jacob. Congratulations.
Before I start every podcast, I go out to my forums and Facebook and I let people know that I'm recording. And then anything that they respond, I'll read off at the end of the cast. And that is what we're doing right now. So. Do we start with Facebook, or do we start with the forums?
We always start with Facebook, don't we?
I kind of switch it up sometimes.
Yeah, but...
But we'll see. Facebook, hey, look, there's a response. Oh, look at that.
It's from Pat.
Pat and Sarah Beth have both responded. And Sarah Beth says, feeling better, Mike. Being sick on a day off is the worst. Happy Indigenous People's Day anyway. Hey, thank you. Yeah, see, this is... That's the movement is.
We're 164th Indigenous.
That's, well, you're 128th Indigenous. I'm 164th Indigenous, so you quit trying to take, oh wait, or am I 132nd?
You're 132nd.
Okay, you're 164th.
I said we as in your children.
That's true. Anyway, yeah, but yeah, what a great way to spend Indigenous People's Day. So, thank you for the well wishes.
164th.
And then Pat, her lovely husband, says, are you wrapped up in a blanket? Was it given to you by a sketchy guy from across the sea?
Are you talking about an Afghan made by an Afghan?
Oh. That would be really good if that's what he was saying.
I don't think it is, though.
No, I am not right this moment, but I certainly was. Wait, are you saying that all Afghanis are sketchy? What kind of racist are you,
right,
Pat?
Pat, come on. You're better than this.
Oh, man. So, anyway, although actually, he may also be talking about the, well, never mind. It's a long story and it's not what he's referring to, but I did in fact buy blankets, in Korea.
Was the man sketchy?
Oh, very sketchy.
Could the blankets have been laced with drugs?
No.
Oh.
Anyway,
God,
but you know,
drug-laced blanket. Someone write that down.
Up until the moment I started recording, yes, I was sitting in bed wrapped in a blanket and watching Netflix, because that was the best way to spend my day up until that point. So now my best way to spend the day is with you guys
and with me.
Isn't this awesome? And then that's it. Oh, I should say that we're done,
really,
so
weird.
People quit posting.
Something I realized a few days ago is when you reference you guys. Since you're going to listen to this later, you're included in that.
I know.
How crazy are you that you're just talking to yourself?
Crazy like a fox.
Foxes don't have the ability to speak, nor the cognitive development to know oneself. So both of the parts of speak to oneself is moot for a fox.
Moot like a fox?
No, you're thinking mute like a fox.
All right, well... I do my best. But if I go over to my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds, I have responses from my brother Kyle, who says, you get bronchitis a lot. Have your lungs been checked out? Your mother has terrible lung issues and your grandmother had emphysema. Are you taking care of yourself? Yes, actually, I do.
Thank you, Auntie Kyle.
I do get bronchitis every year. And... this time, like I said earlier, I'm staying ahead of it, and it's actually starting to get to the getting better portion, like a week ahead of schedule, which is kind of nice. Usually I wait until I'm on my deathbed and hacking up my lungs before I finally go, oh, I should probably get that inhaler.
Oh man, these parts should be inside me.
Right. Yes, I have had my lungs checked out, and when I don't have bronchitis, they are...
Doug's like, ha ha, you're screwed.
They are incredibly healthy. I have a extremely healthy heart and lungs for a guy who doesn't exercise and is extremely overweight.
Not extremely.
I am morbidly obese.
It's not morbid.
I weigh 512 pounds.
You do not.
But
you're 280 at most.
As far as they know, I could. 270, actually, yeah, today.
We have to forklift him out of the house.
So, Eliahead then says, do you have any rituals to prepare for plane flights?
Yeah, don't do it.
Yeah, well, okay, it usually starts out with a sacrificial badger, and it is...
Why a badger?
Because the badger is now my go-to animal for any reference I'm going to make.
I was just going to ask, why are you on a badger kick as of late?
If I...
The semi-automatic badger launcher?
Because I said, I was thinking I was going to sacrifice a goat, because he said ritual, and then I realized that goat, I need another animal, so badger is my go-to animal for references.
You
like
once named a sword after it?
But, no, I don't have any rituals for plane flights that I can think of other than...
Get a lot of sleep.
Yeah, make sure you've got your tickets and travel light and, you know, don't miss your flight. But
don't think about the plane crashing and everyone on it dying.
And always have gum.
And worst thing you could possibly do is somehow make the plane crash, tear apart into two pieces, and then make a really shitty show about it.
Well, it was not a really shitty show until later. So, Eliahead continues. I usually buy a bag of sour gummy candy and a soda. Sadly, I didn't this time. I survived the flight anyway. Thank the gods, especially Aphrodite. She's the cute one.
Good save there, bud.
So, and then Kyle says, feel better. And then...
A link.
There's a link for classicreload.com. Scorched Earth. Am I familiar with this? Press here or press spacebar to start. Oh man, this is gonna be fun. And you guys get you guys get to listen to me play a video game. This is
DOS box.
Awesome.
Oh, it's in DOS. Okay.
Launching emulator. Okay. What am I supposed to be doing?
It's starting.
Well, I know, but it's oh.
Oh my god, it's just an old DOS game.
Scorched Earth, the mother of all games. Well, alright. I guess I'm gonna have to play this and report back on it next week. So.
Or we could fill the last 20 minutes of this podcast with you commentating over a game they can't see.
Yeah, that does seem really bad. Let's see. Players 2, rounds 10. Start. Press escape to show your cursor. I got nothing. Press escape. I am. Don't be an asshole.
Is it opening a new window?
I have no idea. All right, I'm going to have to figure out how to play this. All right, yeah. So anyway, did I... Yeah, I did. I made us done on... Oh, there it is. Now it's working. Weird. Ah, there we go. Player 1 of 2. Mike. All right, we really can't keep doing this.
Player 2, make sure you switch it to computer.
Hold on, we've got to end the podcast. We really do.
But,
so you guys are awesome. Thank you for being here. We're going to play some Scorched Earth.
There's and like a question, isn't there?
No, that was it.
Look again.
What do you mean look again? Well, if I do, I have to get out of this.
Okay, well we can always reset
Hold
this.
On. Jeez. All right, you know what?
Better safe than sorry.
You guys are the best. I think you're awesome. I'm so glad you guys showed up to support me while I'm sick. And see, that's it. It's
okay.
Kyle, we're done.
I just wanted to be sure.
So I will talk to you guys next week, and maybe we'll have content. You never know. That's the kind
hey,
of thing
we
I
had
do.
Content this time around.
You guys are the best.
Nothing new and original, but we had content.
Say goodbye, Aiden.
Goodbye.
See you guys.